And I mentioned last week, coming out of Easter, we just really felt as a leadership team that we needed to address the storms of life because so many people are going through storms. And we kicked off last week and just talking about storms and how to really be anchored to Christ in those storms. And we talked about the story where Jesus calmed the storm with his disciples in the boat. And he's the Lord of the storm. He's the God of nature. And he can bring peace to the storms of our lives. But more importantly, he can bring peace to us in the midst of the storms of our life. Today, we're going to look at a very different kind of storm, a very different kind of storm. I titled my message today, Unnecessary Storms. Unnecessary storms. These are the storms of our own making. How many of you guys have ever been in a storm, but you knew you caused it? I know I have. And today we're looking at, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Jonah, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, really one of the most well-known Old Testament stories, at least at a 30,000 foot view. So the story of Jonah, the historical context of this is this. It's about 775 BC, and Jonah is the prophet of Israel. He's the voice of God to Israel and the king at the time, Jeroboam II, which was not a great king. But at the same time, Israel is thriving to an extent. At the same time, though, the Assyrian Empire is rising. And most importantly, context for this story, the city of Nineveh is an extremely fast-growing, powerful city that had a lot of economic impact in the area. The Assyrian Empire is rising and they're posing a massive threat against Israel because they were extremely violent people in the city of Nineveh, hated God, hated the Jews. And so God calls Jonah. Here's the story in a nutshell, and then we're gonna dive deeper into this. God tells Jonah, the prophet to Israel, that he not only wants him to preach to Israel what God says, but he tells Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against the city. And Jonah, being the extremely godly man he is, didn't do it. And he ran in the complete opposite direction. And we see that God sends a storm, not out of hatred, but out of love, to get Jonah's attention, get him back on track. And then we see that famous part of his story where he throws himself overboard and Jonah is in the water and God sends a fish. You might have heard it's a whale. The Bible never says it's a whale. It's a fish. We don't know what kind of fish, but the fish swallows Jonah and he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. The fish spits him up back onto shore, back where it all started. And God says, go back to Nineveh again. All right, so we can pray and go home. That's the story. What we're gonna look at today, like I mentioned, is these unnecessary storms. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Jonah chapter 1. I'm gonna read verses 1-3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, I want to look at verse 1 very explicitly to set up the message today. Verse 1, the very beginning says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. God told Jonah what to do. And here's what I know. The word of the Lord not only came to people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, in the Bible, but the word of the Lord will come to you. And it already has through his word, the Bible. But even in seasons where we're praying, the word of the Lord will come to you and God will speak to you through his word. As we're doing Bible study, the truth of his word, God will speak and we all have a choice. Here's the choice we all have. Just like Jonah, we will obey or disobey. We'll accept what God says or deny what God says. And the truth is this, we sin when we disobey and go in the opposite direction. So Jonah started sinning the moment he heard the word of the Lord and said, no, that's not for me. And how many times have we looked at the word of the Lord in scripture, what God says is pure and holy and righteous, whether it has to do with sexuality, whether it has to do with how we handle money, how we love our enemies, whatever it might be, and we see what the Bible says, and we say, I don't know. That's just not for me in this season, and I'm going to go the opposite direction. The moment we look at what God says and we refuse to yield to it, we enter into sin. And then all of a sudden, we invite what was these unnecessary storms now become very necessary to get us back on track. So if you're taking notes today, I have four truths, and here's the header, four truths from Jonah's unnecessary storm. So really, it's how can we avoid the storms of our own making? Here's the first truth. Number one is this. God will often ask you to do things you don't want to do. If you look at what God says in his word and you feel like God is constantly stepping on your toes, that's not a you issue. Welcome to the club. I'm a pastor. And when I read the word of God, because the word of God is immovable, but humans are movable. When we encounter the immovable word of God, it will step on our toes. And God will often ask us to do things we innately in our nature don't want to do. And that's what happens with Jonah. Again, Jonah 1:2 says, God told him, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. That was not exciting for Jonah to do, to go to the city and preach against it. I don't want to. But God was speaking, and God is still speaking today. The question is this, am I obeying? Am I yielding to God? So let me ask you this. When God says something in his word that is different than you want to hear, how do you mostly respond? How do you respond to that? When you're reading the word of God, when you're sitting in a sermon like this and you hear what God says and it steps on your toes, how do you respond? Again, God said, go to the great city of Nineveh. If I'm being honest, when you understand Nineveh, this seems, from a human's perspective, like a pretty unreasonable request of God. I'm just being honest. Because Nineveh was an extremely violent, violent city, known historically for their violence, decapitating enemies. This is gruesome, putting their heads on spikes outside of the city, torturing people. They hated Jews. They hated the Jewish God. They hated everything about it, and they were known for their violence. And Jonah is thinking, if I walk into the city, I'm dead, much less walking into the city, preaching against it. This honestly seemed like a pretty unreasonable request, but God was still asking him to do it. He was asking him, as the prophet of Israel, to get uncomfortable and to trust God's leading. So let me ask you today, what's your Nineveh? What's the thing that God is asking you to do, calling you to do? What's the place he's telling you to go? Who's the person he's telling you to break up with? What's the place he's telling you not to go? What is your Nineveh, the place of discomfort that God is saying, I want you to pursue Nineveh, and you're looking at it going, it's too uncomfortable. That's getting outside of what I can control, but that's the exact place God often asks us to be. What's your Nineveh? Nineveh is the place that pulls you out of your comfort zone, the place that God calls, but you don't really want to go. Nineveh could be forgiving people who have hurt you deeply, blessing someone that you have called an enemy. Nineveh could be fully and finally today, maybe you're someone in the room today, you've never fully and finally gone all in on God. Maybe you're a teenager in the room, a young adult in the room, and at one point early on, you had that fire of God in your life, but certain friends, certain decisions have led you to a place where you know you're not where you need to be. What is your Nineveh? We all have a Nineveh that God is calling us to, but again, it's uncomfortable. And oftentimes, we run just like Jonah. We look at someone like Jonah and we think, I would never do that. I mean, God told him. I mean, if we had a meeting with Jonah, we would go, Jonah, of course the storm came. You disobeyed. God called you to go there and you went there. It's a no-brainer. But again, if Jonah sat down with you, he would look at us and go, are you kidding me? No wonder there's a storm in your life. God called you to go there and you're going there. And we can't look at people in the Bible and think we would know better because we're oftentimes living right now what they were living then. Number two is this, the second truth, when God gives direction, Satan provides distraction. Can I get an amen? That was a loud, audible gasp. So a lot of you guys are distracted maybe or know someone that's distracted. When God gives direction, Satan provides distraction. And you know what I mean. You finally come to church. Things are finally going right in your life. You're finally on the right path. And then out of the blue, you get that DM. The friend from the past, the ex-boyfriend, you thought you were finally over and gone. The invitation to go somewhere. I mean, whatever it might be, it is always happening like clockwork. Because when you're wanting to run, Satan is constantly wanting to provide the distraction, especially when we're wanting to do what God wants to do. But when we're wanting to run, when God's giving direction, he's constantly wanting to bring distraction. Jonah 1:3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish, which he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, sometimes when you read the Bible, you're like, oh, he went down to Joppa. Like he's like going down to the grocery store and then jumped on a boat and like sailed across the pond to Tarshish. I want to show you a map of how extreme this is. So God calls him to go, down to Joppa. Hundreds of miles, just down to Joppa. Or God calls him to go to Nineveh, then he goes down to Joppa. Then he wants to board a ship. Tarshish at this time was the farthest known port that humans knew of. So he wasn't like, oh, I'll go up into Greece. No, I'm gonna go to the farthest known port. But this is what's interesting. It didn't say that he was planning on going to Tarshish. It said he went down to the port and there was a boat there that was sailing for Tarshish. Well, if you look at historical records, that boat only sailed twice a year because of how long the voyage was. So you're telling me at the exact moment God is giving direction and Jonah starts running, that it just happens to be by chance that he goes down to the port and a ship that sails to the farthest place on the known world that only goes twice a year happens to be in the port, and then he happens to have the exact right amount of money, the fare, to get onto the boat. If you were Jonah, many of us would have been like, maybe I misheard God because this really feels like God's will. I mean, these doors are just opening left and right. Maybe I didn't understand God, but isn't that just like us, right? But I want to say this is so important. When you decide to run from God, Satan is happy to provide the transportation. He's happy to provide the transportation. When you look at the odds of all of these things happening, it wasn't by chance. Satan was opening the doors, and I've seen this happen hundreds of times where I've met with people over the years that are trying to make a big move or make a big change, a big decision in their lives. And sadly, by the time I end up meeting with someone or they end up thinking to talk to me or one of our pastors or whoever, they've already made the decision. They're more looking for a blessing rather than advice. And what I would want to do is almost kind of poke holes in their ideas and look at this going, hold on, what you're sitting here telling me is you think this is God's will because all the doors just systematically open for you. But rarely in scripture do open doors like that and an easy path ever equate to God's will. Ask all the disciples. Ask everyone in the New Testament. God's like, hey, Peter, I want you to step out of the boat and walk on water to me. In the storm, to do something impossible, I'll probably die. Okay, that doesn't seem like an open door. That seems like risk. That didn't seem like he had a peace about it. How oftentimes do we pray and say, God, if I get a peace about this, I'll know it's your will. Sometimes you might have a peace about it, but sometimes it might be a Nineveh where you have no peace and requires all faith. Are you with me? So just because it's peace, just because there's open doors, and just because it's easy does not mean it's God. It might actually be the complete opposite. I worded it like this. Just because a circumstance is working for you doesn't mean it's working for your benefit. Just because you fell in love so easily after being single for a long time and everything's so easy in the first few months, but they're not really a believer. You're not really unequally yoked, but it's just so easy that came out of nowhere. It must be God. Or it might be Satan, not the person, but Satan, you know. We've got to know that we know that we know, because Satan is always looking to disguise his plan as God's plan. So then Jonah in the story boards the boat. And then we get to the third truth. Number three, God will send a storm to grab your attention. When we choose to run, a storm will come. Again, it's not a storm of anger, but we're going to read what kind of storm this is. Jonah 1:4 says, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up." This is an extremely strong storm that God sends to get Jonah's attention, not to sink him, but to keep him afloat and get him back on track. Jonah 1:8 through 10, skipping a few verses ahead, some of the sailors were looking at him and they knew that he was running from God because he mentioned it earlier in the story. And now that this storm is so violent, they start accusing him and confronting him. And Jonah answered them, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them so. So now everyone on the boat knows that they're enduring all of this hardship because of this guy, Jonah. Jonah 1:12, skipping down a little bit more, it says, this was his great idea. Here it is. "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." Now, I want you to get something real quick. This is a little bit of a side note, but Jonah in this story, when he first got on the boat, this is what he would be thinking. He knew that he was running from God and he knew that he was sinning. And I know that there are people in the room, we've all fallen short. I know that we all will stumble sometimes. I'm not necessarily talking about that today. There are people in the room here and at our North Campus. There is something that you're attached to and you know that God is asking you one thing and you're just not doing it. That there's something you're running from, a decision you need to be making, something that's keeping you from the center of God's will. And we think, just like Jonah, when he got on that boat, he's thinking, my sin only affects me. And I know that if something happens to me one day, that's fine, but he's thinking it only affects him, and he's hoping he can escape the eye of God himself. But what he didn't understand, and what many people refuse to believe and understand until calamity happens, is your sin never only affects you. It affected every sailor on the boat because God was sending a storm to bring Jonah back to repentance, back to God, but his sin was affecting every single person around him. And we've all experienced that. The sin of a father, the sin of a mother, of a grandfather, there's abuse in the family, the sin of a spouse, the sin of a child, the sin of a friend, someone that backstabbed us, someone at work. We've experienced that. And whenever someone sins, it's never just between them and God. It always affects other people. And one of Satan's greatest lies in keeping this a secret and under the surface, one of Satan's greatest lies is convincing you nothing's gonna happen. Your wife's not gonna find out. Your husband's not gonna find out. It won't affect your kids. It's not going to affect work. You won't lose your job. And Satan is a master at making you think, even if a storm comes, it'll only affect you. And it never only affects us. We might be thinking today, just like Jonah, I'm gonna run from God. And again, if the storm comes, that's fine. But God was sending this storm again to get him back on track. And what I mentioned earlier is true. This storm was not God's vengeance. It was not his anger and it was not his hatred. This storm was his kindness. And we need to get that and we need to believe it because the Bible tells us that it is God's kindness that leads someone to repentance. Yes, is God the righteous judge? Yes, he is the righteous judge. but this kind of a storm is not coming in judgment. It's like the love of God, the last straw, saying, you're running to as far as you can possibly run from me, and I'm gonna send a storm big enough not to sink you, but to get your attention, to bring you back to the call, the destiny, and the forgiveness that I have for you. That's the kind of God we serve. He used the storm, God used the storm, not to destroy Jonah, but to get him back on track. So is there a situation in your life today where it feels like your life is rocking just like that boat? The waves, the storm, the wind, something's happening in your life, and you know that you know it's attached to a rebellious spirit, maybe. It's attached to a secret sin. It's attached to something where it's not God's anger, but you just know and sense in your spirit, he's trying to get me back on track. And if I just admit what's going on, if to myself, to God, maybe to some people around me, if I just repent of sin, whatever it might be, repent of not going to Nineveh, it could be sin, it could just be avoiding the call, whatever it might be, God will bring refuge. This is important too. There is no refuge apart from God. There is only refuge found in God. Jonah thought he was gonna find refuge running from God, but what he found out is there's only refuge found in God himself. In this series, in several weeks of this series, we're gonna be sharing stories. And today we're sharing another story. Our youth pastor, I'm preaching on Jonah. Our youth pastor's name is Jonas, and he just so happens to have a Jonah story. So would you help me welcome our youth pastor, Jonas Hill, to the stage? Jonas, thank you for joining me today and sharing this story. I know that, you know, it's a big story. It's a lot, and it's a lot to also to be proud of what God's done in your life and where you are today. But you grew up in a home that went to church. You believed in God. You acknowledged his existence, but never really went all in on God all the way, even through late high school. But then something started to shift and change. Walk us through, pick up there and kind of walk us through what that looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up, like Pastor Dustin said, I always felt like this tug and this desire to know what God's will for my life was. And I just kept running away from that. And so I just also wanted to start by saying that you can run from your calling. I ran from my calling, but you can never outrun your caller. And man, God just, he kept meeting me with grace. And long story short, I made baseball an idol in my life. And so I kept, you know, that was like the center of my life. I got into some really bad stuff in high school, started, you know, going to parties, the drugs, the girls, you name it, I did it. And I'll never forget my sister, my brother-in-law, they were working at this church and had this huge summer camp. And they just decided, you know, it might be a good idea my senior year for me to go out for my last time as a student to this summer camp. And honestly, like, I just did not want to go. I already signed to play college baseball. I already had what I wanted to do with my life. And so nothing about me wanted to go to this cheesy Jesus summer camp, if I'm being honest. And so somehow my sister, who's sitting on the front right here, she convinced me to go. And so I ended up going, and I'll never forget from night one, I just remember opening up and just asking God, God, what do you have for my life? Is it baseball or is it something different? And there's something I love about God is that when you ask that kind of prayer, he's always gonna answer that prayer. Mm-hmm. And so he made it so evident to me that baseball was not it, just through some signs and some meeting some people while I was at that summer camp. And I just knew that he was calling me into full-time ministry. And so I was 2 weeks away from moving into my college, meeting my coaches, my roommates, moving into my dorm, decided to go home and just tell everyone. And they thought I was crazy, and I thought I was crazy, that I was no longer gonna pursue baseball and I was gonna step into full-time ministry for the rest of my life. So
this is already a crazy story, but when you received that call of God, you shifted your whole life. You go to this ministry school in Oklahoma, and pursuing the call of God. But anyway, this is what's so interesting about Jonah is the whole time, even when he was running from God, he's still the prophet Jonah.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Pursuing God, but still God is still having to work out those wrinkles in our lives. Mm-hmm. And you experienced that as well. Walk us through what the next few years looked like.
Yeah, so after pursuing ministry, my life still was not perfect, as many of you could probably relate to. But I remember, you know, after that I was living two lifestyles in high school, and so I just made a commitment to God that first year of ministry school. God, I'm not gonna do anything outside of your will. I'm not gonna pursue any girl, nothing like that. I just wanna focus on our relationship. And so I did that for the first year. But then year two rolls around and I ended up meeting this girl. And there were so many red flags in this relationship. All the pastors I was close with, the mentors that I had, every single person in my life told me, don't date this girl, don't pursue this girl. And I just did the exact opposite. And so, you know, while I was there, we pursued. We had talked about marriage, and we were just talking about our future together. And fast forward, once I graduated from ministry school, we ended up getting engaged. And I uprooted my entire life from Oklahoma, moved out to North Carolina to follow this girl. And it was just one of the worst mistakes that I could have ever made, running from God, literally. But after 1 week of just being out there, uprooting my entire life, no friends, no family, she ended up cheating on me while I was out there. And so I'll never forget, you know, just really thinking, man, like God, I was mad at God. I was also mad at myself and embarrassed at myself for not listening to God and not listening to the godly counsel in my life. I could have saved myself a lot of heartache and saved myself a lot of pain. And so, you know, that was one of the darkest seasons of my life. And I was thankful that God actually met me with grace, but I had a hard time navigating that moment in my life.
In your story, that's kind of like the storm beginning in your story, that this breakup happens. You were engaged, actually, you break up. This storm is big, and now you're all alone. So you moved across the country, all alone. You know, you were talking about, you know, not feeling good enough for ministry. You had walked away from baseball. That's a pretty low moment. Can you walk us through that season of how low it got and then what God did?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, I'll never forget too, the reason why I know it wasn't God's will for my life is because nothing was working out. I applied for 30 different jobs. None of them worked out. I just signed a lease for my apartment. And so I had a 6 month commitment, 6 month to a year commitment that I couldn't break. And so I was out there all alone, no family, no friends, no nothing. And so I just remember it was about Christmas time in 2019, the lowest point of my entire life. I was just having some really dark thoughts. I remember exactly what I was doing. I remember exactly what I was wearing. And I thought that the only way out of this thing is just to end it all. I had thoughts of suicide. And so I'll never forget Christmas Eve, 2019. I was all alone this Christmas season, and just tears were streaming down my face. I was sitting in the living room of my apartment and just really contemplating if God had anything left for my life. And so I was sitting there, I was just crying and weeping, and the only thing that could come out of my mouth, I asked God, God, if you still have something for my life, I need you to show me and tell me right now. And I'll never forget, as I'm crying and trying to figure out what the next few moments are going to look like, I look down at my phone and my phone starts ringing. It was a FaceTime call from my sister. And you know, nothing about that call really urged me to answer it. I did not want to answer it at all, but man, I just really felt something in my spirit to answer that FaceTime call. And so I wiped the tears away and I answered the FaceTime call. And to my surprise, it wasn't my sister at all. It was actually my two-year-old niece. Her name is Lux Baldwin. I think we got a photo up here. With just the brightest smile on her face. And man, I kind of broke in that moment. She had no idea what I was about to do, what I was going through. All she knew what to do in that moment was just to smile because she saw my face. And you know, in that moment, she just started calling me by my name over and over and over again. Jonas, Jonas, Jonas. And then my heart broke because I knew that it wasn't just my two-year-old niece calling me by my name, but it was God himself calling me by my name.
That's great.
And so in that moment, man, I really did feel like God was still with me, even though I was running from the call of God. And he really met me in that moment, and he used my two-year-old niece to save my life. And you know, I love that God is so intentional, because Lux didn't just have a random name, but she had an intentional name. And if you didn't know this, Lux is actually Latin for the word light. And so what I believe that God was doing in this moment was shining his light through my two-year-old niece into the darkest moment of my life to save my life. And I'll never forget it for the rest of my life.
So that was the end of 2019, Christmas of 2019. Walk us just through what God has done since then. So that was him getting your attention. you went overboard, yeah. and then God's grace picked you up. What happened?
Yeah, so I just, you know, from that moment, never looked back, never doubted that God did have something for my life. Packed everything up. Obviously, I had a few months left. I actually broke my lease early, paid some money for that. Packed everything up and drove 32 hours from North Carolina to be here in Albuquerque. Barely had enough money to make it, but, you know, from that moment, God just opened so many doors the moment I got here. Job opening at the church. I've now been working here for 5 years. I met my beautiful girlfriend here. We've been dating for almost 2 years now. And man, God just really turned my life around and just opened, you know, some doors here in Albuquerque.
And just a few months ago, officially became the youth pastor. And you're just doing such a phenomenal job. I'm sitting here when you're telling this story, just thinking God's grace and plan is seriously so unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it takes finally getting to the place of saying, I can't do this my way anymore.
Absolutely.
And Jonas, thank you. Thank you for opening up and sharing your story. Yeah. Will you guys give him a huge round of applause? Man. It's so powerful to see what God can do. And in those moments that are so low, it's hard to see that God is good. But his goodness, again, is weaving all of these things together. And then we go to our fourth truth, and this is the last truth for the message. Life-changing grace is found under the waves. Life-changing grace is found under the waves. Picking up in the story, Jonah 1, 15 through 17, it says, then they took Jonah, the sailors took Jonah, and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Here's what I love about this story is at the beginning I said, when God is giving direction, Satan is happy to provide distraction and transportation. Remember, Satan provides transportation. But we find out toward the end of the story in chapter 1 is that once Jonah gets to the end of doing life his way and he finally falls into God's grace and God's plan, guess who else had transportation planned? God. And God's transportation plan was to take Jonah all the way back to the beginning, to the very spot where the fish would spit him up onto the shore, in the very spot where God first called Jonah to go to Nineveh. And this is a perfect depiction of God's grace, because no matter how far we run, we serve the God that will take us back to the beginning as if the season of sin never even happened if we fall into God's grace. Can we give God a big hand clap to that? I love this about God. He's the God of first chances, second chances, and third chances. But we've got to get to the end of doing it our way and finally surrender and say, God, I'll go to Nineveh. One of the things that's interesting in verse 5 tells us that Jonah went into the boat and fell asleep. And I want to read verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. This is when the storm first was coming up. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and each cried to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. This is interesting, but Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. I wanted to read this before I close because this is what God put on my heart with this message, is that there are people here today at our North Campus that you've been running for so long from God, or there's been a certain issue that's been happening for so long, you've become numb to the fact that it's wrong in the first place. That God said to go there, but you went there, and so numb that the Bible says there's something that is explicitly called a slumber, a sleep unto death. You're not dead, but there's a sleep unto a spiritual death where we're no longer the person we used to be. The joy is gone. The peace is gone. We're filled with anxiety. We're filled with a heaviness. And you know what I'm talking about. There are people that you knew at one time, they had the light of Christ. They're in God's will. They're imperfect, but they're walking in his grace. But then they're dating the wrong person. They get attached to the wrong substance. They walk away from church. They walk away from God. And you see them months or years later, and they're a shell of who they used to be. It's the sleep unto death. And Jonah went into the ship and fell asleep at a time no one should have been able to fall asleep. There was a storm happening, The sailors were nervous for their lives and Jonah's asleep. And I want to say to you today, if you're asleep to your sin today, I believe God's kindness is stepping into your life today. Just like in Jonah's story, calling him by name, this is your moment. You're here today because God wants your attention. And what he's saying is it's time to wake up. It's time to see that the storm is here, but it's not his hatred. It's not his judgment. It's his grace and his kindness. And it's time to surrender to God and go back to where it all started. Go back to your first love. Go back to the beginning and receive the second chance of God's grace. It's time to wake up. I love this because in Jonah 2, we see what happens once Jonah goes overboard. Jonah 2, 1 through 10, it says this, "From deep inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. In my distress, O Lord, I called to you and you answered me. From deep in the world of the dead, I cried for help and you heard me. You threw me down into the depths, to the very bottom of the sea where the waters were all around me and all your mighty waves rolled over me. I thought I had been banished from your presence and would never see your holy temple again. The water came over me and choked me. The sea covered me completely. When I felt my life was slipping away, then, O Lord, I prayed to you, and in your holy temple, you heard me. Salvation comes from the Lord. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah up on the beach, and it did. He thought the waves were coming over him to kill him, but he was actually experiencing the waves of God's grace." And in Jonah 3, 1 through 2, my favorite two verses in the story, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give to you." When Jonah made the leap, he wasn't giving up on life. He was giving up on doing life his way. That's the call today. Don't give up on life. Give up on doing life your way and watch what God can do his way with your life. I love when it says he called him a second time. Some of you need to experience God's grace today a second time. You thought what he called you to do is gone. You think because of a lifestyle that you're living or something you're doing that God's grace is not there. You can't have a second chance. But I am standing here today to tell you one of the greatest attributes of our God is he is the God of second chances who is sending a wave of grace to bring you back to where it all started. But the question today is, are you willing today to finally take on Nineveh? What's your Nineveh? What's the thing you've been avoiding? What's the place you've been avoiding to go? What's the decision you've been avoiding to make? Today's the day to experience God's grace and his call on your life. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes here and at our North Campus, I wanna end praying over two groups today. The first group I wanna pray over is the group of people today that when I'm talking about the story of Jonah, you might be sitting there thinking, I don't know if I'm like Jonah, a believer in God running from a call. I don't know if I've ever fully gone all in on God. And what I mean by that is, according to the New Testament, we see that Jesus went to the cross to die on behalf of us, our sin. Because of our sin, it should have been us on that cross. But Jesus, in his love, went to the cross for us, died for our sin, came out of the grave 3 days later, conquering sin. And the New Testament tells us that all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus, believe as Savior, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And the book of Romans tells us we will be saved. And some of us today, it's salvation that we've been running from. It's Jesus that we've been running from because we've been doing life our way. And I think today there's people here and at our North Campus, you're exhausted from running from God. And today's the day where you can fully surrender to Christ and say, I wanna dive into his grace. I want forgiveness. I want a second chance. I want eternity with him. I believe today is the day of salvation. And the second group of people I want to pray over today is a group of people that you're a believer, you're a Christian, but you've just been in a season of there's some specific thing, your Nineveh, and you've just been running from it. You've entered into a relationship you shouldn't be in. You've made some decisions you shouldn't have made. Maybe it's the call of God on your life where he's calling you to do something great, but maybe you're fearful and you've been running from it. Whatever it might be, you're a believer today. But the second group I want to pray for is just a prayer of boldness and courage, a prayer of alignment and clarity on what God is specifically calling you to do, so you can leave here today with a fresh boldness and clarity to make the decisions you need to make to get back on track with God again. So if you're in the room today and you're in that first group where you would like to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, to experience the grace that we've been talking about, the salvation that comes with Jesus, to secure an eternal home in heaven with him forever and have full purpose in life now and forgiveness. If that's you today here and at our North Campus, on the count of three, would you just boldly raise your hand right where you are on the count of three? 1, 2, 3. Just right where you are. I would love to be able to pray with you. Keep them raised just for a moment here and at our North Campus. Thank you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can put them right back down. I'm gonna pray over you in a moment, but secondly, if you're in the room today and you just want a prayer of fresh boldness and courage leaving the room today, of alignment with God, knowing what the Nineveh is and the boldness to tackle it and to get back on track with what God's calling you to do. If that's you in the room today, on the count of three, raise your hand right where you are. 1, 2, 3. Awesome, a lot of hands. Keep them up just for a moment. So many hands. I've been there. You can put them right back down. I want to pray, and if you raised your hand in either group, I just want you to pray this prayer and pray for that boldness and courage to take it on. There is nothing like being in alignment with God. Everything just is working when you're in alignment with God. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you so much. And God, I pray over the first group of people that raised their hand. And God, I just pray right now for those that raise their hand as they just begin to pray on their own, saying, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. Jesus, I know and believe that you died on a cross for my sin. It was my sin that deserved death, God, but you stepped in, Jesus, out of love for me, went to the cross, but didn't stay dead, came back to life, and you love me so much that all I have to do today is call on you as my Lord and Savior to have forgiveness, a fresh start today, an eternal home in heaven secured. And God, I just pray that forgiveness and grace would just wash over people in that first group right now. God, that we would just know that we're forgiven, that we stand a brand new creation with you today. We thank you for that. Come into our lives. And God, I also pray for the second group of people that raised their hands. God, that we know the Nineveh in our lives. We're praying for clarity on what it is, decisions we need to make, decisions we need to make to get out of something or into something, to move or not move, whatever it might be, this big decision, God, we just pray for the boldness and courage to make the decision. But God, also, we just pray that you would be with us, give us strength, God, and clarity on what to do. May we also experience your grace, and may we hear the word of the Lord again for a second time. We thank you for being the God of second chances. We thank you for being the God of calling and destiny and salvation. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.